I could feel the joy of the Lord on those that should share testimony. And Don, what a way to just close out our time of just sharing testimony. That's what joy looks like when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's what happens when God steps in and pulls you out of darkness and reveals to us his marvelous light. That's what happens when he dwells inside of you. And what happens is you become a new person in Christ Jesus. That's salvation. That's the beauty of salvation. I mean, that's God's presence living inside of us. And I don't know what has brought you here tonight or maybe some of the things that you're dealing with, but God's presence is what is offered to you and I when we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And he makes our heart his dwelling place. That's the beauty of the gospel. That's the good news, is that not only what happens here is when you believe and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and this wonderful truth that he went to a cross and he died for our sins and he rose again on the third day, he makes a decision to make you his dwelling place. The very people that he died for. It's an amazing truth. But more than that, it's an amazing love. It's amazing how gracious God is that he would send his only begotten son to come down here on this earth and live a life that we couldn't live. You and I could not live the life that Jesus lived. He was perfect. He made no mistakes. He knew no sin up until that moment when he went to the cross and then he bore our sins. All of our sins, the world's sins, every bit of everything that you've done wrong, he took it to the cross. Every wicked thought that you and I have had, he took it to the cross. Every foul thing that we've said out of our mouth, he bore that on himself when he went to the cross, this old rugged cross. It's the power of the cross that gives us life. And it's the power of the cross of Jesus Christ that gives you and I a joy that cannot be taken away. You know, people, they spend their whole life looking for happiness, but happiness is temporary when it comes to finding those things that bring a smile in the world. You know, it's like it's one drink after another, or it's another drug after another, or it's another relationship after another relationship, or it's another party after another party, or it's another job after another job, or it's another career after another career, and nothing satisfies the way Jesus satisfies. Nothing. You can search this whole world for the rest of your life and you won't find anything that compares to the love of Jesus Christ. You won't find anything that fills your soul and satisfies and makes you a new person. And Jesus made this possible. This satisfaction, this wholeness, this joy, this unspeakable joy, it comes only from Jesus Christ, who bore our sins, who went to the cross and he died for us. He took our place. We deserve death. It should have been us that died. We've all sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. But God in his glory wanted to reveal this wonderful truth that he is God, he's holy, he's powerful, he's almighty. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. And from the very beginning, it was God's desire that we would know this holiness, that we would know this glory, that we would know of his kingdom, that you and I would be a part of his kingdom. So he makes a way that you and I would be adopted into his kingdom and belong to him. Despite our rebellion, despite every effort you and I have attempted to run away from God, he kept chasing you and I down. I mean, I don't know how many people I've talked to in life that continue to say, I'm not with it. Or they might even say, I dig it, but I'm not fully with it. Or I appreciate it, I respect it, but I'm not really a part of this thing. Not for me. And even though you and I, in our human thinking, always attempting to try to make the journey ours or go about life the way we want to go about life. From the very beginning, it was God's intent to save you, despite our rebellion, despite our wayward thinking, despite the way we just assume that we can take life in our own hands and live the way we want to live. From the very beginning, it was God's plan to rescue you. That's amazing. That's love that we fully can't even grasp, that from the very beginning when God created us out of the dust and out of the ground, when he created us and shaped us, this all-knowing God, the God who knows everything from beginning to end, knowing that we were going to rebel from the very beginning that he created us, knowing we'd rebel, he established his plan to save us right then and there. He established this beautiful plan to rescue us from darkness, to rescue us from our own sinful ways. And he from the very beginning, Jesus knew. I can't even fully imagine what that conversation looked like between God and Jesus, who had all power and authority to just stop everything and just say, wait, hold on. This whole Adam and Eve thing, let's rethink it. They had the power to do that. To stop and go, wait, the whole Adam and Eve idea is about to be an epic failure. No, it's not. Matter of fact, I believe their thinking was this. In man's point of view, definitely an epic failure. But who we are is God. All things are made perfect in and through us. Why and how does that even work? Because God is love. He doesn't just offer love. He is love. He is the ultimate definition of love. That's why God has the ability in who he is as creator to create us, although we would stray away, and still establish a perfect plan to redeem us all at the same time. We can't fully comprehend that. We're just trying to live today, right? We're just trying to make it. We're just trying to move forward. I got to get up in the morning and go to work. I've got plans. I've got things. I mean, God's a part of it, but, you know, I just got everyday life. No, God wants to be a part of your everyday life. And in order to really live life, he has to be your everyday life. There's no everyday life without God. We are literally like the walking dead without God. And God refused to leave us like that. And so Jesus came. And he is our Savior. He is our Redeemer. He is the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. He is love and he cares. He won't stop chasing after you. Some of you here, maybe you've been kind of just in and out. Maybe you like Times Square Church. Maybe you love Times Square Church. But you love the things that you do in the world too. You love life in the streets. You love life in the clubs and the parties. Maybe you make an effort to religiously keep Times Square Church and going to church as a part of your weekly habit or routine. But the thing you really idolize and the thing you really love is your career. Or maybe a relationship that you're in. And I want to let you know tonight, God has to be first. If you really want to live everyday life. You have to make him Savior tonight. And you have to give him complete control. I know I'm speaking to somebody right now. Someone who maybe comes to church because it's the religious thing to do. Tonight I want to invite you to have a real, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Fully given, fully surrendered to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Tonight you have the opportunity to be a new person in Christ Jesus and be free from whatever addiction, from whatever worldly thing that's been going on in your life that has kept you bound. The stuff that you've been involved with, that you feel ashamed about, or something that you watch continually, that's been an addiction. And he can set you free, just like in Dawn's life. Free from cigarettes, free from weed, free from heroin, free from cocaine, free from alcohol, free from pornography addiction, any sexual addiction. You can be free from it. You can be a new person. You can be healed. Jesus has the power to heal a broken heart. It's only Jesus Christ that can reach into those places in your heart where you've been wounded and bring complete healing. He's the great physician. There's no doctor like our Jesus. He's a deliverer. He can set you free from darkness that torments you at night. We've been working on this stage play, as I told you earlier, The Cross and the Switchblade. And there's a moment in the story where one of the young men that is a part of the gang, he's tormented at night, the dreams that he struggles with. And we've taken a lot of time to make sure that we really paint a picture of how dark it can get, because we know that so many young people and adults have a hard time sleeping because of the mental torment, because of the stuff that they struggle with and they see at night. Before coming to New York City, I was a director of an at-risk program. It was a gang intervention program where teen gang members, just before they were going to get locked up, they had one more chance and they would be sent to this program that I was a director at. And in this program, we made every effort to instill biblical values, and there were rules that were established when they went into this camp. Of course, no foul language, no smoking, of course. And we'd give them opportunities to do creative arts and creative media and give them a biblical foundation in this process of developing creative arts. And one of the rules at night was at 10 o'clock, lights had to be out. Now, mind you, these were gang members and gang leaders from all over the country that would fly in and be a part of this program. And they didn't have any problems with all of the rules through the day. And they did their best not to curse. And they did their best to be polite. Some of them even learned how to say yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. But the one rule that they did not want to abide by was lights off at 10 o'clock. And I remember pulling one guy aside and said, listen, man, you guys, every time when it comes 10 o'clock, these lights need to be off. You're talking, you're just acting out. I mean, come on, man, everybody needs to sleep. And this gang member pulled me aside and he said, yo, Mr. Ham, I'm gonna keep it real with you, man. He said, it's not because we wanna stay up all night long. It's what we experience when the lights go off. For real, man, we don't do the dark. That's what he said. And the truth was revealed to me that they were being tormented in their sleep. They were afraid of the dark. They were afraid of the attack of the devil, which is real. But there's a power greater than the devil. There's a power greater than darkness. It is the light of Christ Jesus. And when God sheds his light on a situation, darkness cannot withstand the power of the light of Jesus, and darkness has to flee, and the enemy has to flee when you call on the name of Jesus Christ. When Jesus dwells inside of you, darkness has to flee. The enemy's pushed back. God, in his word, says that he will make his enemy a footstool underneath him. A footstool. Everything that comes with the enemy is a footstool underneath the foot of Jesus Christ. And he has all power and authority to give you rest at night, to give you a new life. life, to give you hope, to give you promise, to give you a miracle in your life. Well, for the first time tonight, you can shut off the lights and you can go to sleep in the peace of God's Spirit. It's all about Jesus. That's where the power lies. That's where the freedom lies. That's where joy is. That's where healing is. Would you stand up with me? I know I'm talking to someone this evening. I know that there's some people here. You've been fighting the dark. You've been on a journey, and it's been one challenge after another. There's fears, there's doubt, there's frustration. But I know a God. I have a Savior, and His name is Jesus. And He desires to make Himself known to you in a personal way, that you would know what freedom is. And I just want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. But I want to ask you, I'm going to challenge you to be bold tonight. And I'm going to, listen, I'm going to be right up here with you, and I want to pray that you would know Jesus Christ, that you would truly know Jesus as Savior. Not religion, not off and on, not a seasonal thing, but that you would be fully surrendered to Jesus Christ tonight. Fully surrendered, like fully given. Allow Him to just occupy from top to bottom. Let Him be God. And I want to pray with you. I'm going to invite you now to just step out of your seat and come down here, because I want to pray with you. Don't worry about who's watching. Don't worry about who's looking. You just be serious. You get serious with God right now in the name of Jesus, from the balcony to the main floor. And maybe you've been going to church for a long time, but maybe tonight you've realized, whoa, I really haven't had just a strong, genuine relationship with Jesus as my Savior. And I want Him to change me. I want Him to make me whole. You come down here right now. Maybe you came with somebody who is a believer in Christ Jesus. Grab their hand, say, "You're coming with me." Or maybe you are a believer and you brought a friend. Grab their hand, say, "Come on, we're going down. Let's get right with God. Let's know who He is as a healing God. Let's know who He is as a Savior." You come down right now. We'll wait for you. We're going to worship God for just a few minutes. Don't be in a rush tonight. Don't be in a rush. As we worship, if you can't shake what God is doing right now in your heart, what God is doing right now as He's overriding those thoughts in your mind that says, "No, I'm good enough. I don't need to go down. I don't need prayer." As we worship, if you can't shake it, that means you need to come down here. Church, as we worship, let's just begin to pray already, because people are going to be set free tonight in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. You know, the Word of God says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised Him up, Jesus Christ, from the dead, you will be saved. If you confess this, that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised Him up, raised up His Son, you will be saved. It goes on to say that it's in the heart that one believes and is justified, and it's with our mouth, our lip service, that one confesses and is saved. And if you believe and if you call on the name of Jesus Christ, you will not be put to shame. It will be the end of shame and the end of whatever guilt you might be wrestling with. And so I want you to pray this prayer with me. We're going to pray it together. Jesus, we confess our sin. Forgive me of all of my wrong. I believe You died on the cross for all of my sins. And You rose again on the third day. I believe it. I put my faith in this truth. Make me a new person. Cleanse me and make me whole. Heal my heart. Live inside of me and lead me. Thank you, Jesus, for the grace you showed me on the cross when you died for me. I choose now to live my life for you. In your name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Look up at me real quick. There's freedom for you right now in the name of Jesus, and you are a new person in Christ Jesus. If you prayed that prayer in faith, you're a new person in Christ Jesus, never to be the same again. That's the freedom of Jesus Christ that we receive when we pray and when we believe in faith. And he comes inside, he dwells inside of us, and there's this power that it's hard to describe it to you, but you just feel it. You know what that power is like? That power is the very thing that drew you here to the front. Not by just fancy words or anything, but it's the power of God's Spirit that drew you to say, man, I want something different. It's the power of the testimonies that you heard tonight that you said, oh man, I want to be free like that. It's the power of Jesus Christ that has met many of us that are here in the house of the Lord. It's the power of God's Spirit that fills our heart and it makes us a new person. And the power of God's Spirit leads us and directs us and brings healing to our life each and every day. And so I want to just encourage you now just to open up your mouth and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for coming into my life. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your Spirit. You just pray your own prayer right now. It doesn't have to sound like mine, but you just say, God, lead me. God, live inside of me. God, direct me. God, thank you, Jesus. Heal my heart. I've been wounded. I've been hurt. I've been rejected. God, just come inside and just heal me. And church, I'm just going to ask you just in this minute right now, if you could extend your hand as we always do, because we stand together as the body of Christ, standing with our brothers. And you begin to pray right now. Every voice counts. Every voice matters right now. Every Spirit-filled believer, just cry out. Just extend your hand to just one person that's up here right now in the name of Jesus Christ. God, I thank you. I thank you for my brothers. I thank you for my sisters. I thank you for healing right now. Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, because up here right now, Lord, you have made your people a new people right now. I thank you, Jesus, because you are a redeemer. You are a healer. And I thank you, God, because you, only you, God, can set the captives free. So God, we thank you for freedom. Every chain broken now in the name of Jesus Christ. Chains broken now. Chains of addiction broken. Chains of fear and doubt broken now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, chains of guilt and shame broken in the name of Jesus. The chains of rejection broken now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I ask that now you would invade every heart now in the name of Jesus. That every heart would be filled with the Holy Spirit. God, I pray that faith would rise up, that they too now would open up their mouth and call on your great name, Jesus, your name that saves, Jesus, your name that heals, Jesus, your name that breaks the chains of addiction. Jesus, we thank you, oh God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We're almost done, but listen to me. If you struggle with what to pray, just say that great name, Jesus. That's where prayer begins. Prayer begins and ends with the name of Jesus Christ. For so long, I grew up a pastor's kid, and very often I didn't know how to pray. I didn't even know what to say. And if I did pray, I just copied something either from my dad at times or just one of the elders or another preacher. Until I realized that it wasn't about fancy prayers. It wasn't about knowing all the right words to say. Scripture tells us time and time again that there's freedom and there's power in the name of Jesus. And so when you're struggling with relationships or struggling with friendships or when you're struggling on the job or certain things are starting to creep up in your mind and your thoughts and you're being reminded of everything that you've done wrong, just say the name Jesus. You just say the name Jesus. You're going to walk out these doors and there are going to be people in your life that are going to try to convince you that this moment wasn't real, or church is just something that is kind of off and on a Sunday. You say the name Jesus. And I'm telling you, when you say the name Jesus and you believe it in faith, there's going to be a stirring in your soul that is going to keep you every step of the way. And God is going to part the waters. He's going to make a path for you, and he's going to keep you on this straight and this narrow path. It might not be easy, but when I say the name of Jesus, I'm able to endure every hurdle, every bump, every ditch, every pothole. And I'm telling you, Jesus has the power to keep you on the road. So that's how you pray. That's how you pray. That's how you pray. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus.